Father in heaven, God, you have incredible lives planned for each and every one of us. God, you want us to be men who are secure and who are strong and who don't worry about what people think more than what you think. God, you have a path that is a great path, God, where we can be changed and that we cannot be prisoners of things that frankly just don't matter, God. You really have great plans for us, and I pray that we will embrace that today, God. I pray that our hearts will be soft, and God, that we will just be blessed by not just this lesson, but God, every lesson that we go to and that we hear today, Father. God, help us to be the men you call us to be. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys, welcome. We are talking about insecurity. And at first glance, I think, I know in our rooms last night, some of us talked about how maybe it wasn't that big of a deal in our lives, or maybe it wasn't one of the main classes that we would focus on. But subsequently, you have to go to classes, and so somehow you ended up here. There's those people who maybe think, man, I don't really know that I'm an insecure person. I don't really know that that's a big deal for me. And there's other people that undoubtedly, 100%, like me, know that you're in the right place and you've been waiting for this time to come. Because you know you struggle with insecurity and you know it's something that drastically affects your life, and it's something that you really know that you have to work on. And guys, in either situation, I have the 100% for sure way that you could know if you belong in this class. We were at Dollar General yesterday, and how many of you guys know what this is? Okay, Trent, were you there?
Yeah.
So you know, not you. Okay, how many of you guys have ever seen the commercial with the old lady in the park who's creepy and kind of nosy, and she has the hearing device because she wants to hear all the conversations around her even though she's not close to them? If you want this because you think people are talking about you and you want to make sure you want to turn this on and hear what people are saying about you, then you need to be in this class 100%. So,
what if you just want it?
Okay, there you go. You need to be in the class. And guys, when we think about security, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Well, I mean, when you think of security?
Alarm systems.
Alarm systems.
A safe.
Safe.
Guns.
Big Trent, stand up. Trent with a security shirt on. You know, whatever. And that's generally what we think of. But guys, the definition, and this is the very first definition that comes up on security, and guys, it's not really any of those things. When you look up the definition of security, that's not really what it is. The definition, according to good old Marion, is is the state of being or feeling secure. Freedom from fear, anxiety, danger, doubt. It's a state or sense of safety or certainty, and it's something that gives or assures safety, tranquility, protection, and safeguard. And guys, when I think about that definition, I think that is exactly what we're talking about today. We're talking about how we can be men who are secure and who know the purpose that God has for their life and how they're able to be blessed richly because of those things. And guys, we're not just talking about insecurity today. We're talking about security. And so we'll make a lot of inferences about insecurity and about what that means, because that's not really the only thing we're talking about. Guys, you may not be the person that walks around and you see a group of friends talking and you go, oh man, what if they're talking about me? Or you may not be the guy who's constantly doing things that is not natural to them because you are trying to basically be some... I'm sorry, I'm ADD. You may not be that person. However, you are the person who know that you're not secure in the way that you're supposed to be. And so regardless of where you're at, I think that you'll have some benefit from what we're going to talk about today. And guys, as we look at this year's family vacation and we think about the kind of relationship that we want to have with Jesus and the kind of relationship that we want to have with the Father, we have to realize that we look at the examples of all the classes, and guys, there's no doubt about it, Jesus was a very, very secure man of God. And we can look at that and we can initially go, you know what, well, of course, he was the Son of God, he was secure. But guys, there's also many, many reasons why he was not secure. Or I'm sorry, why he could not have been secure. And guys, why do you think some of those reasons, what are some reasons Jesus could have been insecure?
Didn't have a biological father.
Didn't have a biological father, absolutely. We're going to talk about that. What else?
So many people doubted him when he was surrounded by people who didn't believe what he was saying.
Absolutely, a lot of people doubted him. They didn't believe what he was saying. They probably thought he was crazy. Why else could Jesus have been insecure?
He was a Galilean.
He was a Galilean?
He knew he was going to die.
He knew he was going to die. Guys, what about the fact that he was from Nazareth? And if you know anything about Nazareth, guys, it wasn't any kind of special place at all. It would be almost like the projects of of the time or whatever. It wasn't a good place at all. What about the fact that he was born of a virgin? Or, I'm sorry, a supposed virgin. You know, people didn't think Mary was telling the truth, to be honest with you. That's a pretty good reason to be insecure. You know, what about in Isaiah 53 where it talks about there was no beauty or majesty about him at all? And guys, there's many, many reasons why Jesus, frankly, could have been a very, very insecure person. And so when we think about that, you know, that's something that we can know that he made the decision to be secure in spite of the situation that he faced. And guys, the Bible says, I'm not going to do that part yet. Guys, when we think about the situation that Jesus was in, we can undoubtedly know that we can be secure as well. Because the Bible says very clearly that he's an example for us to follow. And because Jesus was secure, we can be secure also. Guys, you can be secure like Jesus. This is the first point. If you know who you belong to. Again, you can be secure like Jesus if you know who you belong to. The relationship between God and Jesus is a relationship, and it's the perfect relationship. It's that of a loving father and his perfectly obedient son. And guys, this relationship is one of the greatest relationships that we can look at when it comes to a father-son relationship. Guys, we see fully and completely that Jesus was close and connected with the Father. There's no doubt about it. Guys, in Matthew 11:27, it says, All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Guys, the Father trusted things to Jesus. There's no doubt about it. There was a closeness, there was an intimacy, there was a connection that was there. And guys, there was a purpose there. And so because of that, we see Jesus being able to be secure because he belonged to God. And he understood that. He knew what his role was, he knew his purpose, and he knew his plan. And because of that, it allowed him to, the next point, it says, if I want to be secure like Jesus, I must develop a deep connection with the Father. Again, a deep connection with the Father. And if I could be honest, I think that there have been times in my life where the purpose that I had was not that of Jesus. It wasn't to be a disciple. It wasn't to be a man of integrity and character. It was basically to be a man that gets what I want. You know, and honestly, that's something that I've regretted most of my life is the time that I was completely surrounded by insecurity and by making poor decisions. And guys, honestly, there's two types of relationships we're going to talk about real quick. We are the children of a biological and physical father, every single one of us, unless you're the next Jesus. So, I mean, pretty much everybody in here has a biological and physical father. And guys, so do I. But the thing about my personal relationship with my father is I've never met my father. I've never talked to him. I've never seen him. I have no idea where he's at. I don't know if he's dead or alive. And there's also people who have a similar story to mine. There's also people who, maybe your father was in your life, and maybe he was physically there, but he wasn't there. He didn't teach you up, or he didn't teach you how to be a man of God. He didn't teach you how to put God first. He didn't teach you how to be the man that ultimately is going to get you to heaven. He just kind of existed. And then, of course, we have the fathers, you know, that really taught us the godly principles that made a huge impact on our life and that taught us to be the kind of men that we needed to be. And guys, in either situation, I guarantee there was always a longing and a desire to be close with our physical fathers. Guys, I don't even know what it feels like to have a father. I grew up with a mother, period, my whole life. Even up to I was a teenager. That's all I had up until the age of 17 when I got out on my own and really started to live a relationship with God. I didn't have not even a father figure in my life. And guys, the whole time, even though I don't even know what one feels like to have, I always desired to have a relationship with my physical father. Always. And guys, in the same way, we have a relationship. Not only are we children of physical and biological, you know, men, but we're also the child of a spiritual dad. I'll say that again. Not only are we children of physical fathers, but we're also the children of spiritual dads. Guys, Jesus was undoubtedly, again, he was very close to the Father. And guys, when we talk about that desire to want to be close and that desire to want to connect with God, We have to ask ourselves, are we those men that can honestly and earnestly say that we are men who desire to be close to God? Or does it happen by default? Or are we the men that, you know, we go to church, you know, maybe it's because of, you know, we grew up going to church. Maybe it's because of, oh man, I'm really going to be nervous now. You know, maybe we were, you know, men. Robert Cox just walked in. Oh my gosh. Or, you know, regardless of the situation, are we those men that want deeply to be close with God? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Guys, when we look at the story we're getting ready to read in Luke 2, 41 through 52, and I have a different version, but I'm going to go ahead and read this passage. And this is where Jesus is speaking with the teachers. Guys, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents didn't miss him at all at first, because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him and their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and of his answers. His parents didn't want to think. Or, I'm sorry, his parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere." "But why did you search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with all of people. And guys, for Jesus at the age of 12, it was natural for him to want to be close to the Father. You know, and guys, honestly, who all in here is a dad? If your kid didn't show up for 3 days and you didn't have a clue where he was at, what he was doing, to say he would be frantic would probably be an understatement. You probably would be sick. And so you look at the situation, and Jesus is as calm and collective as can be and says, "I was fine. I was with the Father." And guys, are we the kind of men in our relationship with God? And honestly, and I know with our campus ministry, we are extremely close and we connect and we talk to pretty much people every day. But if you shut your phone off, you didn't call anybody, you didn't text anybody, you were nowhere to be found, you kind of disappeared for 3 days, you know, would people go, "Oh man, he's fine, he's with the Father"? You know, or would they, you know, or they think something was wrong? You know, is that really the kind of man that we are becoming and the kind of men that we are? And that's a question we can ask for ourselves. Because it was natural for Jesus to want to be there with the Father, spending time. You know, all children grow and learn, but Jesus learned and grew with the Father. And that's a question. Are we making a decision? Are we going to be close to the Father? Guys, we know very little about Jesus, to be honest with you, at this point in his life. But we see very clearly at the end of that passage, it says that Jesus grew in stature and he grew in favor with men and he grew in favor with God. And guys, does not being deeply connected with the Father make you insecure? Is that something that because you aren't connected with the Father that you don't know, frankly, what to do or what to think? Guys, if we want to be secure like Jesus, we have to this is the next point. We have to realize my place in relationship to the Father and Son. Guys, many people say they're humble. And many people say, "Oh man, you know, I'm prideful. I'm just a prideful dog." You know, how many have either said that or heard somebody say that? You know, we hear that all the time. And I think that for some reason, and this is the case in my life, we think that an acknowledgement of that we're being prideful is a sign of humility, when in fact it's not. I think it's in a lot of ways, for me, it's been a cover-up. And so when we think about, again, and we talked about earlier those two types of people, maybe the people who know they should be in the class, undisputably, the people who question whether they should be in the class. And guys, there are people, like myself also, who are extremely prideful people. And guys, the opposite of pride is humility. And so when we think about the security and we think about the pride, we may not be quote unquote insecure. We may not be the person who every time we walk into a room, we may think, "Okay, what are they thinking about me? What are they saying about me?" We may not be that person, but we're certainly not secure because we're prideful people. And guys, in Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all who are tired and are carrying heavy loads. I will give you rest. Become my servants and learn from me. I am gentle and free of pride. You will find rest for your souls. Serving me is easy and my load is light." Guys, if we look at the life of Christ, we know that it wasn't just a statement or a shallow claim, or it wasn't just, you know, something that Jesus went around saying, "Oh man, oh yeah, I'm pretty humble." You know, we can obviously see that in his life. He lived knowing who sent him, and he lived knowing who God was, and he knew that he was the Father, undoubtedly. And because of that, we see great things happening in his life. Guys, I'm going to read this real quick in John 12. It's not on your notes. John 12, 49-50. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that this command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And guys, humility is cool because humility is reality. And being able to acknowledge our role in relation to the Father, it gives us security. And you would think, oh, well, if I'm not in control, I don't have the ability to make those decisions. Well, but being humble, guys, it's reality. And how many of you have read the book Prideful Souls, Guide to Humility? It's a really, really good book. If you struggle with pride, or if you don't struggle with pride, it's a good book, and it outlines some really, really good things. And I'm going to read something from it. It's a chapter, and it's talking about humility. And I know in the last class, we had a lot more people who read the book, and most of them had only read it one time. And I think I encourage everybody to read it again because it really is something that, it's a really good book that can really help in your pride. It says, and the passage says, "Humility is so right because it squares with reality. There is a God and you are not Him. There is a great and awesome God who created the heavens and the earth and you are not Him. There is a God who knows and understands all and is in control of all, and you are not Him. He is God, and you are not." And guys, something about knowing our role and knowing that we're not the boss and knowing that we aren't in control, especially when it's God, it's, for me personally, it's something so comforting about that. And when we think about, how many of you guys watch or like mob movies, gangster movies? I'm not a huge fan of them, but I watch them, and I think it's cool when you watch them and you see that if you're a part of the family, is what they call it, then you have some protection. Then you have, in some ways, it's not 100%, but you have assurance that you're going to be safe and that you're going to be protected. But if you notice, there's always, in a lot of those movies, the person that kind of steps out of that protection because maybe they're cocky, they're arrogant, they're prideful, they think they know what's best, and you find that when they step out of the ability for that Godfather to protect them, then they find out very quickly that there's not security in that situation at all. It's very insecure, and it's a very unstable situation. And guys, in the same way, God can't protect what He can't control. And if we are people who don't acknowledge where we fit in the grand scheme of things, then we'll find out very quickly that we're going to live a life of insecurity, a life of pride, and a life that lacks humility. And so, a couple other passages I think really to help put things into perspective when it comes to who God is and who we are not. In Job 38, verse 4, it says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." In Job 38, 12, it says, "Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place?" In Job 38, 25, it says, Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you?" And guys, does a shallow knowledge of God and a shallow acknowledgement of who God is and what He's capable of and how powerful He is, does it leave you, frankly, insecure? Or are you secure in who God is and you live it and you live, frankly, a life that security is present? And that's a question that we can ask. Guys, you will only find that you will find out that filling God's purpose for your life and being that man who acknowledges who God is, guys, that's the only way you're going to have success. Because if we continue as people to think, well, I know it all, or I have the ability to make, oh, I make good decisions all the time, but when we don't consult the Father and we don't acknowledge who God is, we find out very quickly that we find ourselves in trouble. And guys, when you are doing what God wants, God has promised us that He's going to take care of us. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through difficult times or difficult situations, but God has made it very clear that He is going to take care of us if we have faith and trust in Him. And guys, also, the next point is you can be secure like Jesus if you know what your purpose is. Again, you can be secure like Jesus if you know what your purpose is. Guys, uncertainty creates insecurity. You know, are you secure because you don't know where you fit or know what to do? You know, the purpose that you have Does it allow you to push forward in difficult times when things are difficult, or does your insecurity allow you to take a step back and go, man, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to feel, I don't know how to act? And guys, there's no question about it that uncertainty about the purpose that you have in your life, it creates insecurity. I know that that certainly is the case in my life. And guys, when you think about high school kids and you think about, even in some ways, you know, college kids, you know, I know we're in college now, so we certainly are well beyond our years when it comes to high school kids, but that's actually not the case, especially in our campus ministry. But when you think about it, guys, there's always the, you know, there's so much immaturity in high school. And you find out that kids are trying to fit into groups. They're trying to be either a jock or they're trying to fit into whatever club that there are. And there's always, not necessarily a club, but there's always groups of people that people try to mold themselves to fit in when, frankly, maybe you're not either of them. Maybe you're not either of them. And it's no fun because the person that I talked about last class is not in here, so it's not as, you know, fun to make fun of them when they're here, but I'll do it anyway. I told them I would. But when you think about it, insecurity will allow you to do, honestly, some very, very dumb things. There's a guy in our campus ministry in St. Charles at Lindenwood University who, although he was from the area, he lived in St. Louis, and people actually knew him. And of course, when you go to a college like that, you run into people who, frankly, know who you are. This person was so insecure about who they were that they decided that they were going to pretend to be from another country and that they were going to have another accent. From New Zealand, actually. And so, and this is not a joke. I mean, this person legitimately didn't, you know, it wasn't a joke. It was a very serious thing. He basically had given up his old life. He was going to be this person from New Zealand. And he was planning on 4 years or five. If you're from ACB, Missouri, it may be 6 or 7 to get a bachelor's. But, you know, they planned on all this time and spending this time being somebody that they were not because they were so insecure about who they were. And this person, and I'm going to tell you who it is eventually, but this person eventually got found out because people from the area were going, that dude's not from New Zealand. He went to Rittner High School with me. He's from St. Louis. And this guy, and it's Sean Gallagher. How many of you guys know Sean? And I promise this is a legitimate story. And I'm very, very serious. And he really planned on living that lie for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Because he was so insecure about who he was. And Sean has grown leaps and bounds in his security with God. And we make fun of him all the time about it. And we just randomly start talking like we're from New Zealand. And he always knows what we're talking about. But guys, if you have a deep connection with the Father and a deep connection with the purpose in your life, you don't have to worry about who you're going to be. Because the person that God has made you and the person that you are is a good person that God wants to bless and God wants to use you to do amazing and incredible things with. So we don't have to pretend like we're from New Zealand or do any other crazy. And guys, I could probably tell you a few stories of myself. Well, when Sean one day, as he's leading the lesson, he can tell you stories about me. I'm not going to talk about myself, but when you think about it also, guys, you find fulfillment and direction when you have purpose in what you're doing. Again, you find fulfillment and direction. When you have a deep connection and purpose, you don't have to worry about where you fit and if you are secure or not, because you're secure in Christ. Guys, in 2 Peter 1:1, it says, this letter is from Simon, Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you to share the same precious faith we have. This faith is given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ our God. Guys, are we slaves? Is a purpose that we have in a walk with God, are we that way? Is that really who we are? Or are we people who just kind of live life and kind of, as things kind of happen, we just kind of, you know, fit where we fit? You know, or do we have a defined purpose and a defined direction that allows us to do great things in the ministry? And guys, frankly, if we are secure in our purpose and what we're doing, guys, we are too busy to be insecure. That's the next point. We're too busy to be insecure. And frankly, when we think about that, guys, I look at my walk with God. I'm at this point in my life, I'm approaching being a Christian longer than I've not been. I became a Christian when I was 13 or 14 years old, and I'm getting ready to be 26. And I think about the kind of relationship with God that I should have. And I think that, undisputably, I am not where I need to be, and God has not been able to work in my life because of my lack of security and my lack of purpose that I've had in my life. There's no doubt about it. Because I spent so many years focused on what Juan wanted. I spent so many years focused on what I thought was best for me. And instead of trying to be a man of character and integrity, I was too busy trying to be giving the appearance of being a man of integrity and character. And for so long, I was not able to grow because God was not able to work with me because I was not secure in the purpose that I had. And guys, when we talk about being secure like Jesus, we also have to know that, guys, we can be secure like Jesus if we know where our destination is. Again, if we know where our destination is. How many of you guys have ever been on a trip and you know pretty much exactly where you're going? You've been there before, maybe you have a map, you're pretty certain about where you're going. And so because of that, you have a sense of security, you're not really worried about where you're going. But on the other side of that, let's say you don't have a map, you have no idea where you're going, you don't have the GPS, which freaking everybody has a GPS now these days, don't you? You know, and you have them on your phone if you don't have them, you know, on the dashboard in your car. But guys, when you have no idea where you're going and you have no idea where you're headed, it creates a lot of uncertainty. It creates a lot of insecurity because you don't know what purpose you have. And guys, but when we think about the relationship that we have with Jesus, we can undisputably know that God has a destination for us. And we know where we're going to end up. If we're connected with the Word of God, if we're connected with the people in our lives that are teaching us and coaching us, we can know clearly that God has a destination for us. And guys, God has promised a great life. Guys, I think about, I think about my life, and I think about the level or the degree of insecurity that I faced. And guys, for a long time, and if my campus minister was in here, he'd tell you, because it was very, very difficult, and it still can be, it's very difficult to work with someone who is so insecure and has a lack of security in Christ. And I think about that, and it wasn't until I realized that I had to start changing, because the life that God was promising me and the life, and you know, you always hear, God has a great life for you. But guys, when you're riddled with insecurity and your every waking second, your every thought, your every focus, and maybe this is not the degree that you're at, but when that's the life that you live, it's very, very difficult to embrace that fact that God has a great life for you. Because you're constantly fighting and you're constantly, you know, living that life, or not living that life, so you don't see it. And so honestly, it wasn't until I started to say, look, God has promised me this great life, but I'm missing it because of the degree of my insecurity, and I'm not embracing healing, and I'm not changing, and I'm not growing. And so when I was finally able to do that, that's when my life personally started to change. And we have to realize, and we have to be confident about the fact that God has that great life for us, but we'll miss it if we're not careful. And that's not just the life that we talk about eternally, that's the life that we have today. You know, God wants to bless us and give us a great and incredible life. Guys, in Psalms 25, 8 through 15, it says, "The Lord is good and right. He points sinners to the right way. He shows those who are humble how to do right, and He teaches them His ways. All the Lord's ways are loving and true for those who follow the demands of His agreement. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my many sins. Are there those who respect the Lord? He will point them to the best way. They will enjoy a good life, and their children will inherit the land. The Lord tells His secrets to those who respect Him and tells them about His agreement. My eyes are always looking to the Lord for help. He will keep me from any traps." And guys, also when we think about it, God has not only promised us a great life on a day-to-day basis, but guys, God has promised us forever life. And He's promised us that, guys, one day, obviously, and guys, we know that so often. We live life, and we talk about heaven, and we talk about, you know, what that's going to be like. But we miss something along the way, and we miss the kind of life that God wants to bless us with. And honestly, we live in such a way, riddled with insecurity, that we almost forget about that promise that God has given us, you know, eternally. And we live our lives, and we make decisions, and we just kind of go along the way, and we don't embrace that in the way that we live. We just kind of live, you know, like that's not something that we think about. And that's not the way that God anticipated it to be. In John 17, 1 through 4, it says, "After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, 'Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. To all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And guys, when you think about the level of insecurity that you have, and you think about where you're at, and you think about even the life that you've lived, is that security something that pushes you to be the kind of man that you need to be? Or is the life that you live a life of uncertainty, of unclarity, of a lack of purpose? You just kind of, you know, go throughout your life and you really don't know the plan that God has for you. I mean, you know, you may think you know, but you don't live that way. And you just basically kind of live your life. Or are you a secure, strong man of God that is able to have a great impact on your family? You know, and I think about this. I think about my relationship with my wife, and I think about when I've grown the most is when she has pushed me to not be an insecure man. And there's no doubt about it. And for those that are married, and if your wife, and if, for those that know that if your wife pushes, and you're in this class for a reason, if she pushes you, it allows you, it honestly allows you to change. And I don't necessarily do it for her, but I think about the type of family that I want. And again, I think about at the beginning of this lesson what we talked about, that lack of having a father in my life. And I think about that lack of, you know, security that I have because of that aspect. Because frankly, it's not God's design for a woman to teach a man how to be a godly man. It's just not the way that God designed it to be. And so when I think about it, and my mom certainly was not trying to teach me how to be a godly man. And so when I think about the kind of family that I can have now and the kind of, you know, blessings that my family is going to be able to have because of a decision to not be that insecure man, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited about the fact that, you know, I will be those things, even though I didn't have it from that physical father that we talked about, but I do have it from that spiritual dad. And guys, if you think about it, you know, we're all in this class for a reason, and we all have, you know, a desire, I think, even because we're probably here at this retreat, we have a desire to do what's right for God. And guys, I know firsthand and personally that God is not going to be able to work in our lives if we continue to struggle with insecurity and we continue to not be the secure man of God that we need to be. And so the question, you know, that I'll leave you with is really, how committed are you to changing? And how committed are you to making decisions to say, look, I'm not going to be that insecure boy, that immature spiritual child. You know, I'm going to man up. I'm going to, you know, push to be secure in my relationship with God, secure with the purpose that I have, with the design that God has for me. And I'm going to allow it to change my life. And then I'm going to allow it to then be able to go and help other people get close to God. Because I promise you guys, when I was riddled with insecurity, I was not effective. And I was not able to take anybody that was broken and help them in any way because I barely could help myself. And I had a desire to do so, but I was not able to be used by God in the way that He wanted to work in my life. And so guys, I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll be done. And I just encourage everybody, really, really allow this retreat, this weekend, to change who you are and to change your decisions. And God is going to bless your life richly. Father in heaven, God, thank you for being a God that blesses us so much, God. You really do so much, God, for our lives. And God, you're a good God. And God, I pray that we'll embrace who you are. God, that we'll acknowledge who you are. God, that we won't live lives being men who are just okay with where we're at. But God, that we push to be strong and that we push to be secure. And that we do everything that we can to honor you in everything we do, Father. God, I pray that this retreat changes our lives and changes our ministries. And God, that that souls are reached because of it, Father. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.